Thousands of people in the U.S. have electrical stimulation devices implanted in their brains to treat Parkinson's disease. Now, the Department of Defense is putting up $70 million to develop a new generation of brain implants to target depression and PTSD. The devices would detect and correct abnormal brain activity in real time. In our continuing series on neuroscience called Brain Matters, WBUR's Kerry Goldberg this morning introduces us to the Boston area scientists and engineers who are taking on the challenge some call a moonshot for the mind.
10 years ago, Liz Murphy fell victim to devastating depression. She was 31, living in Chicago and working in public relations, when one morning at the office, she just fell apart.
It was a Tuesday, and I remember the day so clearly, the sun, everything, and I walked out. It was about 11 o'clock, left my bag, my shoes, just walked out, never went back.
The depression all but paralyzed her. She came home to Boston, and she tried everything, medications, talk therapy, even repeated rounds of electroshock. But she was barely able to get out of bed for months, then years.
I have a hard time believing it's depression in a way, because it was so pervasive and powerful, and it happened so fast, and it was just so degrading.
Her husband and family and top flight doctors cared for her, but Murphy sank so low she tried twice to commit suicide. Finally, a psychiatrist told her about a cutting-edge trial to implant stimulation devices deep in the brains of patients with severe depression. She had the operation in June of 2006, but
my greatest hope that day was to have something go horribly wrong and die on the table. I didn't care.
Murphy didn't die. Over the next few months, she started to feel better. Dr. Imad Eskandar is the Mass General Hospital neurosurgeon who operated on her.
She had the surgery. She was actually our first patient, and she was like a miracle. She went into complete remission.
Now, 8 years after her surgery, if you saw Murphy walking her old English sheepdog, Ned, or playing with her three-year-old son, Owen, only the faint silver scars on her clavicles would hint at anything unusual. That's where the batteries that power her brain stimulator are implanted. But though the experimental surgery changed her life, it didn't work for enough patients in the trial, says Eskandar.
On the average, it failed. But for those people in whom it worked, boy, did it work.
The sort of device Liz Murphy has in her brain is called an open-loop system. With brain mapping and some trial and error, doctors find a location and a frequency that work, and the stimulator stays on all the time. Now, DARPA, the research arm of the Defense Department, is funding Dr. Eskandar and other researchers to take brain implants to the next level, a closed-loop system with sensors in the brain and feedback. It would detect when a patient's brain activity is going off course and try to correct it in real time. If that sounds sort of like your car's GPS system, well, Dr. Emery Brown says it is. He's the MIT computational neuroscientist who'll be working on the algorithms for the brain implant.
It's wholly analogous, and it follows precisely the same paradigms that are used to build GPS. If I see that your brain activity is starting to move back into that depressed state, or PTSD, then I'm going to stimulate to correct that.
First, though, scientists need to learn how to recognize which brain activity patterns indicate depression and PTSD. Again, Imad Eskandar.
Is there an actual trace, something that I can reliably say, yes, when I see this, it means the person is having PTSD or they're feeling very depressed? That is probably going to be the single hardest part.
The researchers know where to start, with what they already know about the brain networks involved. And they think they may be able to pit one part of a network against another. For example, in PTSD, a part of the brain called the amygdala, a seat of fear, acts abnormally. Another part of the brain, called the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, can suppress the amygdala. Dr. Darren Doherty is director of neurotherapeutics at MGH.
So the idea would be that we would record from the amygdala with this device, and when a certain neurosignature was reached, and we knew that that corresponded with the PTSD symptoms, it could then stimulate in the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, which would result in dampening of the amygdala. Those are the types of avenues we're going to be exploring.
Tracking this brain activity involves recording huge amounts of data, but ultimately, the implant device has to be small enough to fit inside a patient's head.
Space and power. I think everything kind of comes down to space and power. We're taking a wall of computers, basically, and putting it into something that would easily fit inside a box of Tic Tacs.
That's Jim Moran of Draper Laboratory in Cambridge. Draper's probably best known for its work on guidance systems for the Apollo moon missions and ballistic missiles, but it's also big in miniaturization for the military and medicine.
Per hour. So this is a class 1000 clean room.
And so the workers are covered in booties and coveralls and face masks.
We call them bunny suits, but they're really coveralls.
Operations manager Richard Morrison gave me a tour of the Draper Microfabrication Lab, which will craft the tiny innards of the brain implant.
And what's he doing in there?
He is getting ready to spin on a photosensitive polymer. When you make devices on wafers, you typically put a layer down, then you pattern it using lithography, then you etch away what you don't want, then you put another layer down on top of that and pattern and etch, and you build up from the surface.
The Boston area implant team hopes to have a device they can start testing in humans within 3 years. They say it will only be tried in volunteers with severe depression or PTSD that has failed to respond to other treatments. But will this next generation brain implant work? Neurosurgeon Imad Eskandar tries to balance excitement and realism.
You know, we're so tantalizingly close, but it is very, very ambitious. And so I don't want people to think that, oh yeah, we're like one step away from this. This is a long road to hoe.
If or when it does work, researchers say, it could help open a whole new frontier in psychiatry. Electrical therapies that target specific regions of the brain with potentially fewer side effects than drugs. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Goldberg.